This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, January 15th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The Champaign area avoided the bulk of the winter storm that affected areas to the west and south, seeing mostly rain over the weekend. Electricity provider Ameren, meanwhile, says the number of outages in its service area through much of Illinois continues to dwindle. Spokesman Lee Morris says 3,200 homes and businesses in Ameren's turf were without power as of about 8:30 this morning. Many of them are near Peoria and Galesburg and near Alton around Godfrey and Jerseyville. Morris says if the weather continues cooperating, most of the affected customers should have their power restored today. The worst of the winter storm now appears to have moved into Indiana, where ice on tree limbs and power lines caused scattered power outages in northeast Indiana overnight. But there are still about 85,000 Ameren customers without power in the St. Louis region, mostly in St. Charles County in Missouri and in western St. Louis County. At one time this weekend, though, there were about 200,000 out across Missouri. A state of emergency remains in effect. Ameren spokesman Tim Fox says the continued rain, ice, and wind all weekend kept the numbers fluctuating.
We get some customers back on and then others are going off. So it's not true that every customer who lost power on Friday is still out of power. We have restored power to a number of those customers, but this situation continues to evolve.
The ice storm, which also hit southwest Missouri hard, is being blamed for 6 deaths in Missouri, 5 of them traffic-related. The other in Franklin County was from carbon monoxide poisoning. More than 300 National Guardsmen are assisting by clearing debris from roads and checking on the welfare of residents. Missouri Governor Matt Blunt will be in Springfield and St. Charles today to give an update on the storm response. A Champaign man who's run for mayor was hobbled for a lack of qualified signatures on his ballot petition says he may run anyway. Chuck Mingy says fellow veterans persuaded him to run, and he says he'll talk to them about a possible write-in campaign. Mingy says he was motivated to run after last year's city council vote to ban smoking in bars and restaurants. Mayor Jerry Schweihart vocally opposed the move, but Mingy says he should have gone farther.
He voted no. Me, I wouldn't even have voted. Why? Well, I'm upset at it. Why should I vote? You've already got enough to pass. My right is, do I vote or do I not vote? And I wouldn't have voted.
Mingy believes that would have sent a stronger message. Champaign's electoral board determined that Mingy's 43 signatures on his ballot petition included at least 9 who aren't registered as voters. He needed 42 certified signatures. Republican National Committee man Bob Schillander has reportedly refused a request by the party's Illinois Central Committee that he resign his post. The state GOP leaders approved the non-binding resolution Saturday during an executive session in their meeting in the Chicago suburbs. Illinois Republican Party Chairman Andy McKenna declined to release the vote tally or other details, but said it shows the party leadership has lost confidence in the Springfield lobbyist. The 58-year-old Schillander was elected by state party delegates in 2004, but has been under a cloud because some party leaders perceive him as an insider who puts his business interests ahead of party loyalties. He also has connections to White House advisor Karl Rove. An autopsy performed Sunday shows 2 Burger King employees found inside a Moments restaurant Saturday died of multiple injuries from a sharp object. The Kankakee County coroner, Robert Gessner, says preliminary results show 50-year-old Paul Jones of Donovan was hit with a sharp object on the upper right back. 46-year-old Pam Branca of the Moments area was stabbed in the neck, chest, and head area. Moments Police Chief Stephen Cromwell says so far police have no suspects. No money was taken from either the safe or the restaurant's cash register. Cromwell says the killings appear to be a robbery gone wrong. Parents would have to pay for some of the vaccines recommended for their children under cutbacks being considered by Indiana health officials. The state's health department says federal money used to pay for child vaccinations hasn't kept up with the cost, so Indiana's State Department of Health may start charging parents for recommended vaccines unless they're poor enough to qualify for Medicaid. Vaccines that are required by the state would remain free. They include shots for measles, polio, and chickenpox. Optional vaccines for things like influenza and meningitis can range from $25 to $90 per shot, and not all are covered by insurance. Indiana has informed county health agencies that beginning next month, it will start charging for some vaccinations. Illinois is making an effort to help corn growers. A law will require the state to purchase flexible fuel vehicles when purchasing new cars. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The state owns a fleet of about 12,000 vehicles. Workers may drive them to inspect the condition of roads, to monitor state parks, and to drive to and from meetings. Starting this July, whenever one of these vehicles needs to be replaced, it will be with a car that can use either regular or E85 fuel, which contains corn-based ethanol. State spokesman Justin DeYoung says it will help the state's economy.
As more vehicles run on E85, run on biofuels, biodiesel, this is a strong step in supporting Illinois agriculture and the farmers who harvest these crops.
DeYoung says biofuels also expand the use of clean and renewable energy. But critics of ethanol say it's too expensive to produce and transport, and they question the overall environmental benefits. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Several people claimed that they saw an unidentified flying object over Chicago's O'Hare Airport a few weeks ago. Now, if they could only get the courts to believe that UFOs exist, along with government records detailing them. Here's Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
The Supreme Court decision contains only two words, certiorari denied. That the nation's highest court would refuse to hear the case isn't all that unusual in itself. These days, the court hears fewer than 100 cases each year out of 7,000 petitions for review. Instead, it's the caption that raises my antennae. Citizens Against UFO Secrecy versus National Security Agency. Yep, a group that investigates UFOs petitioned the nation's highest court for a review and didn't get one. This all reminds me of the unidentified flying object that some say they saw at Chicago's O'Hare Airport a few weeks ago. The two-sentence Supreme Court order rejecting the case doesn't bode well for those who would like to learn more about such sightings. Just ask the Citizens Against UFO Secrecy and its earlier counterpart, Ground Saucer Watch. The groups have been filing Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, requests with various government agencies for years now, trying to get to the bottom of this whole flying saucer thing. They've asked an alphabet soup of government agencies, the DOD, the CIA, the NSA, for all documents relating to UFOs. In their own words, in part, for any documents relating to unidentifiable and unique aerial objects, described by eyewitnesses as either delta, triangular, or V-shaped, ranging in size from a house to a football field. They've been rebuffed by the government more often than not. The Freedom of Information Act is designed so that those outside the government can get a peek into what's going on inside just by taking the time to ask. Journalists use FOIA routinely to get inside information. But if the search request is too cumbersome, or the documents at issue contain top-secret information or don't exist at all, the person asking won't get much, if anything. So they go to court to try to enlist a judge's help. And the courts, lest anyone get the wrong idea, bend over backward to explain that the legal issue in these cases isn't about the existence of UFOs, or even whether documents about UFOs exist, but whether or not the agency did an adequate search for such documents. The courts in UFO cases have sided with the government so far. Ground Saucer Watch received a tantalizing 900 pages of documents after its request to the CIA in the early 1980s, some even more tantalizingly redacted. The court found that the CIA had done a reasonable search, even though some of the documents hinted at other documents that the group had not received. Since then, there's been that same sort of outcome, even in cases where the groups don't receive a single piece of paper, and even when they've attached eyewitness accounts to their FOIA request, and even when the government first marked record found and then scratched it out, which certainly must feed those who believe in a government cover-up. One court in an unrelated case quoted an old science fiction movie titled Invasion of the Saucer Men. "Just think of it," says one government officer to another in the now mysteriously hard-to-find film. "Only this special unit and the President of the United States will know what happened here." The second replies, "You mean you think we know what's happened here?" Judging from the FOIA cases, we're likely to remain just as confused. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, occasional drizzle early this morning, cloudy skies, then scattered showers or light snow in the late morning and afternoon. We'll have highs around 35 degrees, temperatures falling to the 20s in the afternoon, the chance of precipitation at 40%. Cloudy skies, colder tonight, the low around 18, and tomorrow mostly cloudy and colder with a high around 22 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, January 15th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.